To A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30, California Sunday School is at 9:30, and their worship is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. We finish up our sermon series, The People of Jesus, as we celebrate Easter this morning. The followers of Jesus came from all walks of life. Some were family, some were powerful. Some were common fishermen, and some were outcasts. This morning, we will focus on us as the people of Jesus. In Romans 8:31, it says, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" We'll see this morning that God is our biggest cheerleader. He has done everything for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. We'll see that He has also prepared a place for us after our time on earth is finished. It's all about us and how we respond to God's call. Will we believe in His Son and follow Him? Let's make this Easter where you confirm your belief and faith in Jesus. As Romans 8 ends, it reminds us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. May you have a blessed Resurrection Sunday, and may you feel God's power and love in your life each day. And thank you for listening.
Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And our first hymn this morning is Hosanna, loud Hosanna. Would you pray with me this morning? Almighty God, on this day your Son, Jesus Christ, entered the holy city of Jerusalem and was proclaimed king by those who spread their garments and palm branches along his way. Let those branches be for us signs of his victory. May we ever hail him as our Lord and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life. Amen.
Our children's choir, God's Singers, sings their Palm Sunday anthem, Shout Hosanna. Susan Berger reads our morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, The People of Jesus, The Big Three, Peter, James, and John.
Would everyone please join me for the prayer of illumination? Oh Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for the faith and courage that inspired your ride into the holy city so long ago. May we find our place in that sacred story. Let your word lead us to new faithfulness, to deeper love, and to bold discipleship in these days. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Our first lesson today is in comes from the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 49 through 56. While Jesus was still speaking, someone from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, came. Your daughter is dead, he said. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus said. She is not dead, but asleep. They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, my child, get up. Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Here ends our first lesson. Our second lesson comes from John chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped right into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. Here ends the second lesson.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you, choir. Man, shout Hosanna. Great to have you guys all here for this special, special Sunday. And we're continuing our series, The People of Jesus. We've looked at John the Baptist. We've looked at the demon-possessed. We've looked at Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, two that were in the power structure of the Pharisees. We looked at the blind men. We looked at the lady disciples of Jesus last Sunday, but today we look at the special ones, the big three, Peter, James, and John. Confirmants today, you are now going to be considered the people of Jesus. Just like Peter, James, and John, we're going to look at their lives and try to take some things from their lives to not only help you, but help everybody here this morning. But as we will see with Peter, James, and John, and we'll try to impress upon the confirmants this morning, we're not playing games here anymore. When Jesus called Peter, James, and John, he told them to leave everything. And for us today, Jesus may ask something of that of you today as well. He may ask you to leave behind maybe your dreams of what you wanted to do and follow his path. He may ask you to leave this area to go to another area to fulfill his commandments and his will for your life. But as we look at these three people this morning, they were of the inner circle. The ones that you would think that had it all together. The ones that you would think would understand everything fully about Jesus and not make any mistakes. But when we look at Peter, James, and John, I don't think they only not help us with our consistent walk with the Lord, but they also help us what happens when we fall short or when we stray from the path that Jesus has set for us. This morning we're going to be in Luke chapter 5, verses 2 through 11. If you want to turn there or get it on your phone, you can find the calling of these disciples in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But we're going to look at just Luke, and we'll look a little bit at Matthew chapter 4. It says he saw the water's edge two boats. That means Jesus saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, that would be Peter, and asked him to put out a little bit from shore because the people were pressing upon him. He had to get away or he's going to be, pushed into the water. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." I want you to understand what Peter's doing right here. If you've ever been fishing, if you've ever been down to Kaufman Beach, that's where Dad and I put in our boats when we go fishing. And when you come in from your dad's trip, there's always probably somebody there. And if they've been successful, they want to share their story. And they will ask you, "What's the story?" They'll ask, "How was it? How many did you catch out there?" And you'll say, "Hey, we did well." Or if it was a bad day, "Well, they were slow." You don't want to give the count. But on Thursday, Dad and I went on his birthday. We went out. We caught 3 catfish that we kept. Not one crappie. All right. I don't know if anybody talked to you, Dad, in the boat, because, I went up and got the trailer to back it in. And I don't know if anybody, if you guys were sharing your stories or not. But you're sitting there getting ready to put your boat up, and then Jesus shows up. He says, "Hey, put your boat back out into deep water. Throw out your nets one more time." If you've ever been down to Kaufman Beach, there's that little dock over there. That's where the people without boats fish, all right? Those are the people that, I kind of look at and say, "Boy, sorry for you, but, that's the only place you can fish. If we can't catch a fish right there, we can go to any spot we want to on the lake. But I watch over there. I've not seen anybody catch one fish from that dock. But they're consistently there because that's the only place they can fish." So we're sitting there, at the boat ramp. Jesus shows up and says, "Russ and Jack, go out in front of that dock and cast out one more time." I would have said, "You're crazy. There's no fish over there. We don't have any luck here. We've gone to our best spots, not caught anything, and now you're telling us to throw it out one more time." And so Peter does that. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When you read the other gospel accounts, you find out that Peter and Andrew, brothers, were partners with James and John, brothers, in the fishing business, along with James and John's dad, Zebedee. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." This will not be the last time that Jesus uses catching fish to impress upon Peter who he is. We just read it. Susan just read it in John 21. He knew how to push the buttons on Peter. Fish, catching great fish, let him know who was in charge. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. We see the big three here. They were the first four disciples. You see Andrew's a brother of Peter. You don't see him mentioned with the big four. He has his own moments, but for some reason, he's not part of that inner circle. But we have two sets of brothers. They were fishermen. They were used to hard work. They were used to not being always successful. They were used to hard times, as people have told me throughout all my life. And my dad told me early on, it's called fishing for a reason and not catching. But they left everything. They had not gone to college. They had not gone to seminary. They didn't have the right religious credentials. But for some reason, Jesus saw them and wanted them to be his first disciples. We see that they leave everything to follow Jesus. They leave the family business. It's hard to work with other family. It's hard to spend that much time in close proximity without maybe rubbing each other the wrong way at different times. But I'm sure Zebedee depended upon his sons to run the business. We see Peter gets the name, Simon gets the name Peter for the rock. James and John get the nickname Sons of Thunder. Some say because of their temper or because of their energetic spirit that they bring to every situation. We see their beginning in Matthew chapter 4 again when Jesus is walking along. He calls both sets of brothers, and the two brothers were working with their father at the same at that time. That would be like me putting in the boat for Dad, and Dad pulling the boat up on the trailer there, and me getting ready out to hook it up, and then someone comes along and says, "Hey, I need you. Come follow me." I'm leaving my dad in the boat. That would be a difficult place to be for him, to have to climb over to get out and get the truck and the trailer out of there. But that's what James and John did. When Jesus called them, they left. We also see that they were with Jesus for their greatest moments. Susan read one of them, Jairus' daughter. They were the three that got to go into the room. They didn't hear it secondhand. They saw it for themselves. They also saw the transfiguration, Matthew chapter 17, when Jesus showed all of his glory. They were the only three that saw that. We see them in the Garden of Gethsemane, that Jesus calls those three out among the other 12 and brings them closer to him to share in that special moment. We see Peter give the great confession that you all are going to recite here in just a few moments. Peter walks on water. John was at the cross, but not James for some reason when Jesus was dying and took over just being the one that was helping Mary since Jesus was gone. But we also see Peter, James, and John at their lowest moments. We see their beginning. We see their struggle of faith through there. And then we see their low points. We see Peter's denials. If you saw the Living Lord's Supper last night, I sat in the back after our part was done, and I saw Tony Hale, who was Peter for us. And I'd never really seen him. You know, I've seen it in practice, but I'd not seen it from the view of the camera. And when he hears the rooster crow twice and he falls to his knees, we see Peter at his lowest moment. And when you read that passage in Luke, it says that Jesus looked straight at Peter and they locked eyes. Don't you think that image of Jesus' face was burned into Peter's mind for the rest of his life? A look of disappointment, maybe a look of, "I told you so. You thought you were all that in a bag of chips, but I told you you were going to fall tonight." But we see Peter weep bitterly. We see James and John, when they got angry with the city because they weren't going to let Jesus come in, they were ready to destroy that city. They wanted Jesus to call down fire from heaven. We see James and John, their mother, kind of push them to push Jesus to become the most important to. Instead of a big three, we wanted to be a big two. They wanted to sit on either side of Jesus in his kingdom. So we see that they had their own agenda at heart. We see that Peter and John were early preachers of the church, not James. It was Peter and John. And then in Scripture, we see the end of one of the disciples, James. When you look at James in the Gospels, he's never mentioned without his brother's name or his father's name. He never gets his own byline. Matthew gets one, Philip gets one, Nathaniel gets one, Thomas gets one, John gets one, Peter gets a whole bunch of them, but James never gets mentioned without his brother or his father in the same breath. But he's the first disciple to be killed in Acts chapter 12. We see in Revelation chapter 1 that John has been exiled. The legend is that he had been put in a pot of boiling oil to kill him, but it didn't happen. So they exiled to this island, Patmos, where he had the revelation about the book of Revelation. And legend is that Peter died crucified upside down, that he finally kept his faith and did not deny Jesus a fourth time. So when we look at the lives of Peter, James, and John, what can we tell you all and everyone else here that we can walk with our faith today? Number one, when we decide to follow Jesus, and that's what you're doing today, you're casting your lot with him, you're leaving the boat, you will be asked to give up everything. In Matthew chapter 19, Peter answered Jesus, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" We'll answer that question in just a few moments. And then Jesus, if he hadn't made it clear, he tells us again in Luke 14, "Whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. This is not for the faint of heart." And then in verse 33 says, "In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples." When we look at Peter, James, and John, they left the family business. They left their comfort. They left their family. They left their area that they were filming. They left everything that was familiar to them to follow Jesus. Why? Because they were called to something greater than themselves. Jesus said, you're not going to be catching masses of fish and become known as the best fisherman there on the Sea of Galilee. No. You're going to be catching men now and women, changing their lives with the gospel message. You're going to be called to something greater than just focusing on yourselves. John 15, Jesus said, my command is this, love each other as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. This is my commandment, love each other. Love your fellow classmates. Love your family, love your neighbors. Show them the love of Jesus. Jesus is calling you to something greater than accumulating stuff just for yourself and just following your own path. We see that Peter would go back to fishing because that's who he was. But every time he went back to fishing, Jesus would interrupt that and remind him of what his calling was. You're going to have hobbies. You're going to have interests that each one of you is unique to. Jesus will use those to get your attention at various times to remind you of your calling. What we also see from the life of these three is life will seem unfair at times. You may have already learned that. You're going to get several more lessons in it as you grow up. We see James is never mentioned without his brother. We mentioned that. He never gets any kind of solo recognition. And then, for all of that, he's the first disciple to die. And when you read Acts chapter 12, what you see there is that two disciples had been arrested, Peter and James. Peter got a magical, an angel to come and miraculously rescue him from prison. He walks out and shows up. It's a wonderful story. This is all James gets in Acts chapter 12, verse 2. He had James, meaning Herod, had James, the brother of John, again, never without being mentioned, a father or brother, put to death with the sword. That's it. That's all James gets. He doesn't get any fanfare, no recognition, no statue. There's going to be times in your life things happen that are unfair. You may have a classmate that passes away like I did in high school of a car accident. You may have a friend that loses a spouse because of an illness or a disease. You may have something traumatic happen in your life that doesn't make sense. Life will seem unfair at times. But what we see here is that Jesus is always there in those times to restore us. And we will also, because of your commitment to be one of the people of Jesus, you will see God do great things in your life. Peter, James, and Saul, the greatest things, the transfiguration. They walked on water. They saw the raising of the dead. They saw the feeding of the 5,000. They saw all these great things happen. You're going to see things like that too in your life. You're going to see lives change because of the gospel. Because you invited a friend to youth group, because you invited someone to church, or because you told someone about a youth group activity and they start coming to church, their life is going to be changed for eternity. That's what happened to me. And I've watched my daughters do the same things with their friends and the one that they have come in contact with. The great things that I've seen families in our church that have lost spouses suddenly or had a spouse walk out on them. I've seen them turn to their church. I've seen them turn to their faith. I've seen them turn to Jesus himself to restore them and rebuild them. I consider that a great thing, much better than catching a big limit of crappie down at the lake. You're going to see great things happen in your life if you let Jesus lead you. But you are going to fail at times, and you're going to have friends and family that might even betray you. People that maybe loved you at one time, people that were there for you at all times, they may walk out on you and leave you all alone because of your faith. Peter did it to Jesus. All the disciples fled the scene. It just wasn't Peter, but he was the one that spoke up and he got the headline for it. But remember, Jesus will be there to restore you. In John chapter 21, when Jesus had been fishing that we read here just a few moments ago, Jesus got his attention and then he had some one-on-one time with him. It says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Is your eyes off of yourself? Are you looking at people around you? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. In those times that you fail and that you fall short, come back to Jesus. And he's going to give you the same message that he gave Peter. Feed my sheep. Take care of those around you. Take care of your family. We see that Peter disowned him and betrayed him, but then Jesus still saw value. Never buy the lie from Satan that you've done something that Jesus can never forgive. He's always ready to forgive, restore you, and bring you back into his fold. And then finally, Jesus answers the question that Peter asked, as we've left everything for you, what's in it for us? Isn't that kind of our question a lot of times with faith? I understand, you know, Jesus resurrects from the dead. He's going to die on the cross on Friday. You know, we got this whole Holy Week going on. And, you know, he tells us to be his disciple. He tells us, you know, to do these things that are contrary to the world. But we've all got it in the back of our minds, don't we? What's in it for me? What's this all about? Jesus gives Peter this answer. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, meaning when this world is gone and the new heavens and new earth come, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Saying, he's telling his disciples, don't worry about who's on my right or my left. I've got 12 thrones. You're going to be there. But then he speaks to us and he speaks to you. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first, meaning everything's about me and my family, will be last. And many who are last, who put their all life and put it out there only for Jesus and for others, will be first. I can look at this statement and say, thank you, Jesus. Everything I have, I owe because of him. My wife, I can't stay very long for the meal today. My youngest daughter and her husband flew in from Florida early Saturday morning. And we're having dinner with them after church today. Sorry, I'm going to take pictures with you. I know that it's a vital thing. I need to take pictures and, you know, whatever you need there, I'll do that as long as I can. But I'm having dinner with my family. My mom and my dad are going to be there. My grandkids. And all of that is because of Jesus. I would have never met Betty if I hadn't gone to Bible college. And I wouldn't have anything of this because, except without Jesus. And the same promises for you, and I see those families here today. You're here for a reason, because you love your grandchildren, you love your children, you want the best for them. You want them not only to enjoy this life, but I want my grandchildren to be around the throne with me when that day comes. And that's what my life is about right now, serving you all and serving them so that not only in this life, but in the next life, we are all together. We see Jesus give Simon the name Peter, which means the rock. He gives James and John the nickname Sons of Thunder because of their energy and just they're ready to go get things done. One of those gets named the disciple that Jesus loved, the beloved one, as we kidded him, David, the beloved one. What name will Jesus give you guys? Will it be Ava the Faithful? Will it be Jess the Verbose and the Preacher? Will it be Carson and Connor? The dedicated will be Brennan and Rylan, although the cousins will be the servants of them. Jaylee and Hazel, will it be you to read scripture and be a leader in our church? Where will you start to fill in? This is only the beginning. We're seeing your beginning like James and John got called by Jesus at the fishing boat. You guys are at the fishing boat right now. Are you going to serve in the choir like Jess has talked about? Are you going to help in the nursery, help with the reading? Help with VBS. We're seeing your beginning, but will you stay faithful in your Bible reading, in your church attendance, in your service to the Lord? Will you find a place in the youth group to not only for yourself, but to bring a friend with you. Will Jesus find you and find all of us faithful when that day comes? That's a challenge this morning when you decide to become a person of Jesus.